Title: Track-Free Strategies with Resampling Only Intermediate. Alright, welcome back. Today we're doing something that feels like track freezing, but we're not touching freeze at all. We're going resampling only, and we're doing it in a way that's actually more flexible for drum and bass. Because in DNB, sessions get heavy fast. Layer drums, multiple bass layers, huge effect chains, oversampling, automation everywhere. If you wait until the project is dying to optimize, it's already too late. So the goal here is to build a print and archive workflow that keeps you moving fast, captures cool accidents, and still lets you backtrack if you need to redesign something later. By the end, you'll have a clean system, dedicated print tracks, a source archive group, and a repeatable way to print bass, drums, and FX tails without getting surprised by feedback, warping artifacts, or accidentally baking in a limiter. Step 0. Build a PrintReady template. First, create 3 audio tracks and name them: Print Bass, Print Drums, and Print FX. On every print track, set monitor to off. This is non-negotiable. Monitor off prevents doubling, and it prevents the classic "why is my project screaming" feedback situation when resampling. Also, set warp to off by default. You can always warp later if you need to time stretch, but auto warp on bass, especially sub-heavy stuff, can mess with phase and punch. Start clean. Now set the input on those print tracks to resampling. That means whatever you hear will be what gets recorded, depending on what's soloed, what's routed, and what's happening on your master. Next, create a group called Source Archive. Put your main instrument and MIDI tracks in there, your bass sources, drum sources, synths, anything that's generating audio and chewing CPU. The point is simple. We print audio, then we deactivate the sources so the set becomes light and fast. But we keep the sources around, just in case we want to go back. Quick teacher note: color code this stuff. Make your print tracks one color and your source group another. When you come back to the project a week later, you want your brain to understand the session in 1 second. Step 1. Resampling a heavy re-space, like a manual freeze. Create a MIDI track named Bass Resource. Load Ableton Waveitable. For a classic re-starting point, set oscillator 1 to a saw, oscillator 2 to a square or another saw, and a little unison, like 2 to 4 voices. Don't go nuts yet, because unison plus distortion plus compression stacks up quickly. Now add movement. Put an LFO slowly modulating the filter cutoff, and a second LFO doing tiny fine pitch modulation. Super small. We're not trying to make it out of tune, we're trying to make it alive. Now build a CPU expensive-ish chain. Think Dark Roller vibes. Add saturator. Drive it somewhere in the 4 to 8 dB range. Turn on soft clip, then auto filter. Go low pass 24 dB slope. Add some drive, maybe 2 to 6. If you want it to pump and breathe, use the envelope subtly or plan to automate the cutoff. Then, and yes, this is a fun one, add amp. Try rock or heavy. Use the gain carefully. Amp can explode level fast, but it's a great way to get that aggressive mid character on a reese. Then glue compressor. Try attack around 3 milliseconds, release on auto, ratio 4 to 1, soft clip on. We're shaping and stabilizing, not killing it. Finally, utility. Set bass mono around 120 Hz, and adjust width somewhere between 80 and 120% depending on how wide you want the mids. Remember, wide bass is cool, but wide sub is not. Mono discipline down low is what makes DNB translate in clubs. Now print it. Solo bass resource. Arm print bass. In arrangement view, loop 8 bars. Hit record and let it roll. When you stop, you've now got audio you can chop, reverse, stretch, and recontextualize. This is the moment where your workflow starts feeling like I'm free, because you're no longer stuck inside the instrument and the device chain just to arrange ideas. Now archive the source. Rename the source track to something like Bass Resource Archived, then deactivate it. Right-click and choose Deactivate Track. The track stays there, but it stops using CPU. If you need to change the patch later, you can reactivate it, tweak, and print a new version. Before you deactivate, do a quick checklist. Make sure the print didn't clip. Make sure the start and end are clean. Make sure you recorded enough length to catch the movement. And name the clip in a way that survives revision chaos. Something like, Respos Ammon 174-16V1 Dark Drive. You want key. BPM, bars, version, and a little note. Also, consolidate right after the take. If you recorded a little extra lead-in or tail, highlight the section you want and consolidate. That way you've got a clean 8 or 16 bar file that's easy to slice and export later. Step 2. Post-fader versus pre-fader style printing. Resampling captures what you hear. That's powerful, but it's also a trap, because if your master chain is doing loudness, limiting, clipping, or heavy glue, you might bake that into your prints and regret it later, especially if you plan to remix the balance after printing. Rule of thumb. If you want your print to match the mix exactly, do a post-fader print. That's the default resampling behavior. If you want a cleaner stem that you can rebalance later, you want something more like pre-fader printing. Here's a simple routing trick to approximate pre-fader behavior using sends. On the source track, set audio to sends only. Now create a return track named print bus space. Send your source to that return at 100%. Set the return's output to master. Now, instead of printing the source track directly, solo the return and resample that. This lets you keep the source fader independent, and it gives you a predictable place to put processing if you want a consistent bass bus sound. Extra coach note. Build a dedicated MAX bus group. Put drums, bass, music, and FX groups inside a top-level group called MAX bus. Put your gentle glue devices there. Then keep your actual master channel clean while printing. This avoids the classic problem where you print stems that are already smashed by your master limiter. You can re-enable your mastering chain after you've printed. If you're the type who always mixes into a limiter, create one more audio track called Print Capture Clean. Set it to resampling and monitor off, and temporarily disable loudness devices while you print. You'll thank yourself later when your stems still have dynamics. Step 3. Printing drums with parallel smash, the rolling DNB way. Group your drum channels. Kick, snare, hats, break layer, percussion. Name the group drum bus source. On the drum bus, add EQ 8, high pass around 20 to 30 Hz. If it's boxy, do a small cut somewhere around 200 to 400. Keep it gentle. We're not carving a statue yet. Add glue compressor. Ratio 2 to 1. Attack about 10 milliseconds so the transient gets through. Release somewhere around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds. Aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. This is glue, not destruction. Add drum bus. Drive maybe 5 to 20 depending on how gritty you want it. Crunch 0 to 10. Boom very carefully. Indeed NB it can get flubby quickly because your kick and sub already own that space. Now for the classic parallel return. Create a return track called Para Smash. On that return, add saturator with drive around 6 to 12 dB. Soft clip on. Then glue compressor, ratio 10 to 1. Fast attack like 1 millisecond, release auto. Then EQ 8. Cut lows under 120, and tame harshness in the 5 to 10k range if it starts tearing your head off. Now send snare and break into that return. Start low, like minus 18 dB send level, and bring it up until the drums feel louder and more aggressive without losing punch. The trick is that parallel smash should add density and sustain, not turn your snare into paper. Now print drums. Solo drum bus source. Decide whether you want the parallel return printed too. If you want the print to include your parallel smash, make sure the return is active in what you're hearing. Arm print drums and record 16 bars. 16 is nice because you capture ghost notes, small timing variations, and any ear candy you've got happening. Once printed, you can chop fills, create edits every 8 or 16 bars, and do little tension tricks like reversing tiny hat tails right before the drop. Step 4. Resampling FX as arrangement glue. DNB lives on events, bass throws, snare verbs, little risers, transitions. And printing FX is one of the fastest ways to get that finished track energy without adding more devices and automation lanes. Create a return track called FX throw. Put echo on it. Set time to 1/8 dotted or 1/4. Feedback around 25 to 45%. High pass around 200 Hz so the throw doesn't swamp the low end. Add reverb after it. Decay somewhere like 1.2 to 3 seconds, medium size. Then add auto filter and automate the cutoff so the tail moves and ducks out of the way. Now send a single snare hit or a single bass note into this return. Solo the return. Arm print FX and record the tail. Now you've got an FX audio clip you can place anywhere. Put it one bar before a drop. Reverse it so it sucks into the downbeat or warp it for stutters. For airy tails, try Complex Pro. For rhythmic stutter vibes, try Beats Mode. And remember, you can also pre-EQ throws before printing. High pass aggressively, sometimes up to 300 or 500 Hz, and notch harsh bands if needed. The best FX tails sit above the mix. They don't cloud the drop. Step 5. Stem printing strategy for fast mixdowns. When your session hits 80 tracks, printing stems become sanity. Create more print tracks if you need them. Print bass stem, print drum stem, print music stem, print FX stem. Then the workflow is simple. Solo the group, resample into the matching print track for the full arrangement, then deactivate the source group. Now you're mixing with 4 to 8 audio tracks instead of 80. That's how you keep momentum, especially near the end of a track when you should be making decisions, not managing CPU. Important technical check, latency. If you're using devices with look-ahead, heavy oversampling, or certain limiters, your printed audio can land slightly late. Before you fully commit, print one bar of drums and compare the transient to the original. Zoom way in. If it's late, either reduce latency devices during printing or nudge the printed clip once, then consolidate so it's locked. Common mistakes to avoid. First, accidental master clipping. If your master is red, your print is permanently distorted. Leave about 6 dB of headroom before printing. Second, recording with monitor set to in on the print track. That can cause doubling or feedback. Keep monitor off. Third, warp artifacts on base. Keep warp off unless you need it. Fourth, printing too short. Print at least 8 to 16 bars so you capture modulation cycles and movement. And fifth, forgetting what you printed. Name and consolidate your clips immediately. Future you will love present you for that. Pro tips for darker, heavier DDNB. Print multiple intensity passes. Do a clean pass, a mid pass, and a savage pass with different saturation or drive settings. Then swap them by section. Maybe clean in the intro, savage in the drop, mid in the breakdown. That gives you arrangement energy without adding new instruments. Do sidechain after print when possible. Instead of baking sidechain compression into your base print, keep the print clean and add sidechain on the printed track. That way if you change your kick pattern, you don't have to reprint the bass. Try long movement captures. Record a 2 to 3 minute res pass while you slowly automate cutoff, resonance, saturation drive, unison amount in small ranges and subtle pitch drift. Then slice out the best one or two bars. This audio version is shortened for playback.